process was jettisoned. It was halted. Suddenly, bicycles were excluded. As a result, bicycles have not been considered in this trails plan. We've heard that we're very close to, hopefully, the completion of the off-road cycling master plan. That's supposed to happen in 2016. Because cycling wasn't a consideration in the planning of the trails that are now in the RVNA master plan, that seems to be an obvious defect in the plan. We're so close to a conclusion, although it's just getting started, but the schedule is pretty ambitious. We're so close to conclusion in the off-road cycling master plan that I can't see any sense in cementing the trails element of the RVNA master plan now, when we're going to have so much more information in a relatively short amount of time. I could support the adoption of this master plan with the exception of the trails element. What's going to happen is, if in fact the off-road cycling master plan process determines that that bicycles are an appropriate use to some degree on the property, we may be already saddled with a trails plan or system that simply doesn't allow it to be implemented. That doesn't make any sense. We have a relatively short amount of time to wait. We should wait for the off-road cycling master plan to complete before implementing any kind of trails. There are a lot of other things to be doing at RVNA. We're not out of tasks there. We don't have to implement the trails element now. Thank you very much.
So I'm still grappling with the division over this issue. So you think there might be a possibility that the off-road cycling master plan would recommend a different architecture of where the trails would be?
Well, it's conceivable, but even if that were very minor, I mean, if you look at the maps, you see a line drawn on the map. It could very well be that had that process included the consideration of bicycles, which it did not, that one of those lines might be a little to the left, a little to the right. The trail might split around a rock, and it would deviate from the plan that you're considering adopting today. That would be an impossible accommodation if the trail plan that's in front of you today is adopted as it is. The alternative is very simple. Just hold off on the trails element, just an amendment that would simply say the trails element of this plan is on hold until the conclusion of a process that's going to conclude relatively soon.
So, sir,
what's to be lost in that process?
Were you here when we heard from the project manager for the off-road cycling master plan? Were you here for her testimony?
Yes, yes, yes.
And I don't remember every single word, although she's very articulate, but I seem to recall that she very clearly said that there might be modifications and recommendations coming out of that process that would tweak, in effect, the recommendation in this plan. Division of the trail, safety measures, turnoffs, other kinds of things. So I thought she did a reasonable job carving out some space where reasonable, thoughtful people could make modifications. Did you not hear it the same way?
I did hear that. And I think I think we can all imagine that if the result of the off-road cycling master planning process resulted in a recommendation that blue line, you know, how thick is that blue line? If the recommendation was that blue line needs to go a little bit over to this side, that's not going to be possible, or at least it will be argued very vociferously that we cannot move that line because it was adopted by City Council. I don't know if that line needs to be moved, but we'll be absolutely shackled to that blue line, which is you know, there's only so much precision included in the plan, and it's going to be an impediment to ultimately achieving the optimal trail system if we all determine that it should be a shared-use trail or some part of it should be a shared-use trail.
I think this is a very helpful clarification, and I'd like to bring Emily Roth, the planner, back up just to clarify what that blue line means, because that might make things easier for the rest of the hearing. Thank you for bringing it up.
Like in every other master plan that we do for the city of Portland and create a trail line, it is conceptual. When we get out and do construction and design, that trail may move 5 feet one direction. It may move 10 feet another direction. It is a corridor right now of which we envision that the trail will go. So I don't want anybody to be wedded that this blue line means that there is not room to move 10, 5 feet. It will not move 50 feet, or it will not move 100 feet. But it certainly gives the guidance for Portland Parks and Rec for when we do design of where the trail should go. But as in any master plan, when we get out there and build and we see what all the complications are and there's something maybe that we didn't take into account, we will be on the ground, we will do the survey, we will do the staking work, we will take what the recommendations come from the Off-Road Cycling Committee to ensure that we build and construct a trail that is safe, logical, and works. So I don't want people to be wedded that this line is only exactly where it is shown on the map. It is conceptual within this travel corridor.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the discussion. Okay. Let's take the next three people, please.
Are Mary Ann Fitzgerald, Jim Diamond, and Denny Barnes. And they'll be followed by Duncan Parks, Eric Tonkin, and Tristan Jones.
I should go. Good afternoon. My name is Mary Ann Fitzgerald, and I submitted testimony electronically, but I handed Carla copies for your convenience today. I'm here to express my support for the draft 2015 management plan for the Riverview Natural Area and urge you to affirm its acceptance today and allow that plan to guide the city's efforts to protect the habitat and ecosystem health of this fragile landscape. I work for over 30 years as a natural resources specialist, and I understand the complexities and the challenges of implementing strategies intended to protect and improve environmental quality. Similar controversy has surrounded proposals to close logging roads that the U.S. Forest Service can't afford to maintain. The Riverview property was purchased with the intent of complying with the terms of the conservation easement, and I'm glad that you pointed out where that was because I wasn't prepared to provide copies of it. But I do want to draw your attention to language in the executive summary of the plan that, in my view, really describes how the plan before you today complies with that conservation easement. The primary management objectives for the trail system are protecting natural resources, water quality, and creating a safe place for visitors. Management recommendations include a no-dogs policy and seasonal trail closures to maintain water quality and protect wildlife during sensitive periods of their cycle. Safe and sustainable access to Riverview Natural Area will provide nature-based recreational opportunities and will help support stewardship, community connections, and environmental education opportunities. So the natural resource protections for the Riverview Natural Area has been my major concern about this plan all along. I think that it's well covered in the plan, and I urge you to support these priorities and accept the plan today.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Denny Barnes. I'm a chairman of the Collins View Neighborhood Association Tree Committee and a fifth-generation Oregonian, Portland born and raised. And I just returned to Portland with my family a couple years ago after living in China for 25 years, so nobody appreciates how amazing our urban wilderness is than me. I just live a few blocks from the Riverview Natural Area. I, too, strongly support the Riverview Natural Area Management Plan and urge you to adopt it immediately. Sadly, my family's personal experience has been quite different from your vision. I hope you've all hiked in Riverview. The existing trails are rogue mountain bike trails that were built illegally when the property was owned and managed by the Riverview Cemetery. These trails are built deliberately for jumps and bumps and steep declines and high-speed turns. The dirt surfaces are deeply rutted, and they channel muddy storm water I won't read my whole testimony for time interest. Now, some illegal mountain bikers there are actually quite polite, but a few of them are dangerously insensitive based on my family's experience. Meeting them on narrow trails can be what I guess we call single-track trails can be quite unpleasant. For example, my family is standing on a trail quietly observing a magnificent pileated woodpecker. Suddenly, bike comes charging down the trail, forces us off the trail, and the object of our joy flies away in terror. Wildlife observation is pretty hard in the presence of mountain bikers. I had one occasion where a bike rounding a turn forced my son off the trail, nearly hitting him. My wife, like an angry mother bear, charged after him. He fled in terror. And my wife shouted at me, "Never bring my son here again." And sadly, I haven't. Other stories are certainly available from other neighbors, some of them published in our neighborhood website, Next Door. There are many. I won't list them all. Some single women have asked me to accompany them hiking there because they feel afraid. One avid naturalist always hikes there with a large dog because of security concerns. Of course, large dogs are being banned even as unauthorized mountain bike continues unabated. I see I'm at the end of my time, so let me just emphasize the conservation easement. Let me read from the text. Permitted uses shall therefore include public access for nature-based recreation, and it's specific, such as hiking, nature watching, environmental education, and research, period.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, welcome.
Mayor Hales, commissioners, my name is Jim Diamond. I live on Southwest 2nd in Collinsview. I'm the chair of the Collinsview Neighborhood Association. In my other life, I'm a professor of chemistry at Linfield College, where I teach my students about global warming and climate change. And in that, with that hat on, I'd like to just say, I think personally that this kind of refuge will become increasingly valuable as we see the inevitable consequences of climate change. Now I'd like to continue with my statement from the Neighborhood Association. You have received written copies of this, and I think you've probably got them somewhere electronically as well as in print. The Collinsview Neighborhood Association has supported the process through which the City of Portland Parks and Recreation has developed a management plan for Riverview Natural Area that's consistent with Metro's conservation easement. I apologize, you're going to hear this term many times, I think. And the goals and principles stated in the proposed plan for RVNA. It is our opinion that the language in this easement is extremely important in assessing any management plan for Riverview Natural Area. We in Collinsview thank the City of Portland for acquiring this natural area and its plan to rescue and preserve it. The plan is consistent with council-approved policies and strategy related to the protection of the West Side Wildlife Corridor, environmental protections, conservation efforts, and climate change. Collinsview Neighborhood Association strongly supports sustainable uses of RVNA that are consistent with the values stated in the conservation easement. It's our view that this proposed management plan for RVNA is sensible, consistent with those values, as provided that the activities that are permitted are also consistent with the conservation easement, and this plan will well serve the needs of the community. We applaud Parks and Recreation for their efforts on the proposed management plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. Let's take the next three folks, please.
Are Duncan Parks, Eric Tonkin, and Tristan Jones, and they'll be followed by Carrie Miller, Nathan Ramsey, and Tom Fahey.
Good afternoon. My name is Duncan Parks. I'm a biologist from Southeast Portland, and I think I share with everyone here enthusiasm for the city's acquisition of the property and for the management of it as a high-value natural resource. I think we're all together on that. What I can agree with, though, is the characterization of the process in developing this plan as in any way open or comprehensive or collaborative. I was at some of the early meetings, the public advisory meetings, lots of enthusiasm, lots of input that essentially disappeared. And then, of course, in March 2nd of last year, the city unilaterally prohibited mountain biking, despite the fact that that use did not appear in any way in the technical advisory committee's list of actual threats to the habitat and conservation value of the property. The technical advisory committee got it right, and I was very heartened to see their report, because it ignores things like, for instance, the testimony today that attempts to use the erosional impact of unofficial trails and the behavior of cyclists on unofficial trails as some way of gauging what would happen on officially constructed trails. Again, there's no evidence. The city has never presented any actual rationale for banning mountain bikes, and the discussion was prohibited literally at the first public advisory committee meeting after the ban on mountain bikes. Not only was there not a justification or an explanation for the ban, the topic was literally not permitted to be discussed. So it's hard to see this as in any way some sort of open or public process. Again, I think I share a lot of values and goals with most of the people in this room. I also really enjoy taking my daughters out mountain biking. I had the immense pleasure of watching them challenge themselves in a human-powered activity out at Stubbs Stewart State Park on a trail that I actually had a small part in constructing. That was wonderful. But places like Stubbs Stewart are an hour away. You know, you have to get in your car and drive for an hour. A place like Riverview is a place we could conceivably ride to and enjoy sensibly constructed, durable trails, hopefully built by people like the mountain bike community that are really expert at building durable trails that don't erode. We've got lots of local examples. So I guess my point is that not only if you accept this plan do you continue to deny, say, my chance to take my daughters more often mountain biking in a place that's close to home that doesn't require a long drive, but you really tell them that, you know, that public process where every factor is actually evaluated according to science and according to evidence just doesn't really matter that much. If we don't like a use, we'll just pull it out and not discuss it. And that's really the way the process has been in terms of the way mountain bikes have been handled in the Riverview Natural Area Plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon. Oh, please, folks, just give them a thumbs up, please. I know we are going to have agreement and disagreement, so show it non-verbally, please, or without applause. Welcome.
Well, Mr. Parks just took all the cool things I was going to say, so I'll talk about something else here. My name is Eric Tonkin. I'm the owner of Selwood Cycle Repair, and I attended Lewis and Clark College from 93 to 96. Mr. Hawk said something very important. You should be, as a council, representatives of our city, managers of our staff, and I should add, elected officials who inspire the public to do good in the world. It's an important part of your job. You're right. You have, or Mike is right. You have succeeded. You have protected this piece of property. That is, I think, been done. I was really excited when my friend Emily Roth told me many years ago that the city trying to buy it, failed, and was looking for another opportunity, and then succeeded. What Mr. Hawk left out is that there is another part of this. It's the public, you know. Those of us who are on the other side of, you know, looking at you in the face, we also spend our money and spend our time in these areas, and we do a lot of work, and we're possessive of it, and we use it, and we love it. It's a sense of place. Interestingly, on the last slide on Emily's presentation where it said thank you to everybody, I thought it was very telling because the photo in the background is of the very first work party that happened in Riverview after it was purchased. It was a work party that was co-sponsored by one entity, yours truly, my bike shop, and it was staffed by my staff and my partner, Rhonda, who's in the forefront of that photograph. Now, all we did was invasives removal there. It was in the winter. There was no mention of bikes. There didn't need to be. It was the right thing to do to care for that space. I think that as a user group, cyclists, walkers, dog walkers, I mean, we can all be trusted stewards of our places that provide recreation and, you know, not recreation, just appreciating it for what it is. I think that adopting this plan as it sits right now, unfortunately, locks into place a trail plan. We just heard Emily say it could move 5 feet this way, 10 feet that way, not 50 feet, not 100 feet. I don't think we should be locked into that right now. I think that we've protected the property. I think we can wait the short period of time to consider it more fully for trails and for the use of the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Tristan Jones. I am an outdoor enthusiast and also really enjoy hiking, biking, and all kinds of forms of recreation in Riverview Natural Area. I think one commonality you're going to hear from a lot of the cyclists in this room is they don't feel like this public process worked very well from their perspective. And now we're going to accept a plan and put our faith that further public process is going to allow us a chance at access to Riverview Natural Area. And I think that's kind of, that's where you're going to see a disconnect between cyclists and other users, because I feel as a mountain biker, if the city of Portland has any sincerity in considering bicycles in the Riverview Natural Area in the future, then we should not move forward with this plan. To approve this plan is to approve a plan that was developed with a broken public process that will leave a legacy of distrust. For bicycle access to genuinely be considered in the future of Riverview Natural Area, then the committee should be allowed to talk about the topic throughout the planning process. This was not the case. The subject of bicycle access was systematically excluded from the planning process. Why? We all have our theories of why that happened. But the why doesn't even matter. The fact is, the plan matured without input from a large amount of public stakeholders. There's a very important concern about allowing public access into Riverview Natural Area, regardless of how people plan to enjoy that land. But to exclude and silence one specific group who has been eager since the purchase of the land to be part of the planning process is unethical. Moving forward with this plan would be unethical. We have an opportunity to do this right using progressive and modern land management techniques, planning, and public input. Mountain biking is rapidly growing in popularity, and trail access to bicycles is shrinking both in the urban and rural setting, due in part to a vocal and powerful minority. Cities around the world, from New Zealand to Minnesota, are making positive steps to address this. Communities get involved, tourists come and help the local economy. People of all ages engage in healthy activity in nature, and folks that don't have the means to drive an hour to experiment or experience the joy of riding a bike on dirt have that opportunity. So it might not be everybody's idea of good land use, but it is for a whole lot of people, and that's what the public process is for. If the city plans to address the shortness, or the city plans to address the shortage of mountain bike trails within the city with the off-road cycling master plan, let's do Riverview planning right. Let's allow the off-road master plan to do what it was intended to do. Let's create a plan using complete transparency and uncompromised public process. I urge you guys not to pass this plan as presented.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Next three are Carrie Miller, Nathan Ramsey, and Tom Fahey, and they'll be followed by Bob Solinger, Alexander Clark, and Eli Ahern.
Good afternoon. Who'd like to go first?
I'll go first. My name is Nate Ramsey. I have a few thoughts. Mountain biking is good for Portland. It keeps people healthy. It gets people outdoors, and it develops respect for natural areas. Portland is full of mountain bikers. It's a sport that's accessible to virtually anyone. As I understand it, the issue here is not about environmentalism. Mountain biking is compatible with conservation, and it builds support for future conservation. Allowing mountain bikers into Portland parks is the right thing to do. Delaying adoption of this plan will support that. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Carrie Miller, and I was also at that Ferris Rick party that Eric Tonkin mentioned, and I thought it was great. And I would like to say that I do not support this plan, and that I would be in support of any plan that would still involve the use of mountain biking. I've been going there probably twice a week for the last 20 years, and every experience I've had with any other user has been nothing but positive. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your time. My name is Tom Fahey. I live in Lake Oswego. I spent 6 years on the Transportation Advisory Board and another 3 years working on the city's comprehensive plan. And so one of the things that we always had to work with was the process and having integrity in the process and having people believe that the process was going forward with everybody's input involved. And I think what you'll find is that there's a natural amount of cynicism and skepticism in the process if you read some of the forums. And I think that result is part of some of the exclusionary factors that have happened during the process. I think everybody wants to see a transparent process, wants to see it go forward. I believe in protecting the natural environment. And as a result of the completion of the off-road plan, that if it dictates that this is not appropriate use in that area, then I would gladly support it. But I highly suggest that we wait until that process is vetted and that it is completed so that we can take a look back. I have, for a long time, tried to convince my children to also get involved and to participate. I believe it's every citizen's responsibility to vote, to speak their voice, so they don't allow the same number of voices speak for them. And the questions that they've asked me is, why do some of these things happen? And it's sometimes difficult to explain to them, and there's levels of politics that go on, but I still want to try and inspire them to get involved in whatever the process is that's out there. It's really important. It's a sensitive topic. There's a lot of people that are very emotional about this topic. So we start to hear terms that kind of borderline biking is being evil, that there's these evil characters that are looking to run you over on these trails. My experience has been really, quite frankly, that the most patient group as a total has been the mountain bikers. I've rarely run into situations where I've heard some of these, I've almost been run over. These are inflammatory things that people know that they can state this, and it's going to get an emotional response. I would ask that we move past some of those emotional responses on both sides and really put our time into this process. I hope it works out well, but I do hope that, so my final suggestion is, hold off until the process is done. We're not that far away. What are we really going to lose if we hold off? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.
Next three are Bob Solinger, Alexander Clark, and Eli Ahern, and they'll be followed by Josh Easton, Andrew Jansky, and Warren Johnson.
First. Good afternoon. My name is Bob Solinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Audubon Society of Portland, and we are here to testify in support of adopting the plan. We think it's important that it moves forward. We think it does a few things very well that should be a template for any natural area. We need to start out, when we buy a natural area to protect natural resources and for access to nature, we need to make sure those natural resources are actually preserved and protected, both for the people to enjoy them and for their own intrinsic value. And I think too often we load a lot of uses into these natural areas and then try to go back and figure out how to protect the resources after the fact. Parks and BES did this one right. They looked at the critical natural resource values, things like stream corridors, interior habitat. It doesn't really occur at this site, but other sites, meadows, these really incredibly important, fragile resources, and designed a trail system and recreation around those things to make sure that those things were first and foremost protected, and then the natural recreational opportunities were compatible with those. We think they got it right. We think the trail system is appropriate, whether it's for bikes, for peds, for dog walkers, for horseback riders, whatever. We think the alignment is the correct alignment to protect those natural resources and preserve them. We do think it's unfortunate that we did not get to the biking issue because Audubon believes that biking probably can occur here and is would be an appropriate use here with this alignment, not adding trails, not moving them into the interior or crossing stream corridors, but we believe that biking probably has a place here. That being said, we believe you should move forward today. This parcel was bought for its natural resource value. You've been challenged by critics who said that you weren't really sincere about that. A lot of folks have stepped up and protected this site and defended the reason why the city bought it and said the city really truly did buy it for the natural resource values. This is an opportunity to demonstrate that. Adopt the plan, allow things to move forward, restoration, begin to implement the trails, and so on. Let the mountain biking task force come back and determine whether mountain biking can go here. I am on that task force. And as I said, Audubon senses that mountain biking can exist here in the network that they have determined. One final thing that I would mention is, as I hope you do take a look at the mountain biking task force, it is overwhelmingly people who are associated with mountain biking. And one of the things that we heard was there's going to be a more holistic task force. There were going to be people on there with a lot of different interests so that mountain biking could be integrated into the bigger system. And we were surprised to see it so heavily dominated by mountain bikers and other interests separate from that not so well represented. Particularly concerned to see a mountain biking advocacy group on the technical advisory committee as sort of a nonpartisan, factual-based advisor. We don't typically put advocacy groups on the technical advisory groups. We put them on the task force itself where they can advocate. So thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Whoever would like to go next, go ahead, please.
I'm Alexandra Clark. My family came to Oregon between the years of 1850 and 1869. And so we have a long 165-year history in Oregon and the Tri-County area. We have made both small and meaningful contributions to the community. I am here in support of the conservation easement and the BES values for RVNA. I live in the Collinsview neighborhood, and I've lived there for nearly 30 years. I'm an avid gardener, and I do care about nature and the outdoors, and I'm also a sports enthusiast, or was when I was younger. I was quite active. So I had some specific questions. You have a 5% budget cut for next year in Parks and Rec?
Okay. Not yet.
Not yet, but you're discussing it. And one of those, a couple of those, are that you've cut some after-school and summer programs for our youth and swimming programs, which I think are important. Now, you're cutting, proposing.
I'm just going to interrupt you because that's the meeting tonight. We have a budget advisory committee for parks tonight, and that would be the appropriate place. You're welcome to come. It's at 5 o'clock in the 5:30.
Oh, no, but that's why I'm just bringing, I'm just leading into
you're
something.
Getting
I'm
to
sorry.
Your,
I am.
Ahead.
Just my point was, and we have an issue with the homeless, and yet there was $300,000 available for this bike study. So I'm kind of curious about that. And then I wanted to know also what portion of the trail budget is, reserved to make the improvements that are going to need to be made for mountain bikes.
Zero. We don't have any money for any of the improvements.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not funded
okay.
Yet.
And that is all I have to say. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And welcome. I appreciate your comments about the park budget. You certainly are welcome to come to the budget meeting too.
I went the other night. That's why I have this.
You've done your civic duty today. Thank,
Thank you.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Thank you. My name is Eli Ahern. I'm a local Hillsdale community member and volunteer in the maintenance of trails and native revegetation at Riverview Natural Area. I wanted to ask for a raise of hands for those in support of mountain bike specific trails within the Riverview Natural Area. In attendance, the public's interest should not be dismissed from the current master planning process unless tested scientific evidence proves that modern off-road cycling inhibits achieving the goals of conservation and wildlife preservation at this site. Without such evidence, it is clear that the proposed management plan is incomplete without including mountain bike-specific trails or by providing substantial evidence that mountain bike-specific trails inhibit the primary goals proposed at the site. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
The next three are Josh Easton, Andrew Jansky, and Warren Johnson. And then the last two who signed up will be Charlie Sponsel and Kathleen Walker.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Warren Johnson. Honestly, I didn't hear about this until last night, so I don't know much about the proposal. But I have sat through most of the discussion, and I think my bias would be that everybody wants to use this property. It's very clear. What I didn't hear today is reasons why mountain bikes should be excluded. Is it believed that they're going to cause damage to the property, to the goals of the property? I do think that's something that, if it was discussed, I missed it, I apologize. But if it hasn't been thoroughly explored, I think it ought to be. I am a mountain biker. I've built trails as an Eagle Scout and working for the Forest Service in my earlier years. And I also have had a very good experience both as a hiker and a cyclist in the belief that these trails can be shared and that people are respectful of each other. And if bad things have happened, at least in my experience, sometimes it's about the trail design, making sure that you can see people far enough in advance, slow down, and the people that are also using the trail can hear you and see you as well in many cases. So appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I'm really excited about what you guys have accomplished thus far. I hope that the discussion can continue, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks. Welcome.
Hello, and thank you very much for the opportunity to speak here today. My name is Joshua Easton. I'm a professor of environmental politics and governance at Portland State University. I'm also an advocate for conservation and preservation, as well as a homeowner in the Collinsview neighborhood, which is adjacent to the Riverview Natural area. I'm also a former professional trail builder and designer, so I think that I can see this issue from several different angles. I want to say that I do not support the adoption of this management plan at this time because, as some have suggested earlier, it makes absolutely no sense to lock ourselves into a management plan without regard to the types of access or recreational uses that might potentially be allowed there someday. We've gone back and forth about the possibility of trail adjustments or slight modifications to this existing plan should it be adopted and should mountain bikes be allowed there. I'm not sure that that's consistent with the type of use that a multi-use trail would require. You know, in my position as an academic, you know, I like to look at facts and research rather than assumption and hyperbole and anecdotal rhetoric in judging the legitimacy of public policy. As a citizen, I like to think that policymakers base policy on legitimate research and a technocratic orientation. I'm not sure that that has been the case in banning mountain bikes in RVNA. I understand some of the reasons and some of the rationale behind proceeding cautiously, but I do want to note that mountain bikes, unlike what was suggested earlier, are not inconsistent with the conservation easement itself. I want to read one line from the conservation easement, and this is Section B, permitted uses, and that is, grantor reserves all rights accruing from the ownership of the property, including the right to engage in or permit or invite others to engage in all uses of the easement area that are not inconsistent with the terms of this easement or expressly prohibited herein. Now, while mountain biking is not expressly designated as an acceptable activity, it's certainly not inconsistent with the terms of the easement. And I base that assumption on the fact that there has been absolutely no research that I can find, and I have looked, connecting mountain biking to deteriorations in water temperature or quality, particularly when these activities are done on appropriately designed trails. Trails now are ad hoc, and they're not appropriately designed, and so it's normal to expect some erosion to occur. Furthermore, there has been no research, at least that I'm aware of, on the actual volume of water flow that goes into the Willamette from the RVNA property. So we're not even really sure how much water, because as part of the plan suggests, part of the reason and the rationale behind the conservation easement was to provide a cold water source into the Willamette for salmonids. We're not even really sure that a lot of water, a significant amount of water flows in. And I see that my time has expired here, so I'll stop there. I only want to say that if done correctly and if designed correctly, these uses are entirely consistent with the conservation plan at RBNA.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I feel like I'm watching Groundhog Day, and I'm Bill Murray. Actually, I'm Andrew Jansky, the Advocacy Chair of Northwest Trail Alliance. Our group has been around for 27 years under other names. We're living the same nightmare year after year within the city of Portland regarding bike access to trails. Back then, many of the folks you see in the room were not even born. A lot of them had to go back to work because they had to take off an hour from their day job. Because, you know, we're too busy trying to work, build a career, raise a family, and to come to a midday meeting like this. So it's pretty hard for, them to make it. So it's really good to see. I think what you see them showing is a pretty big deal. So I think one thing you can see is the conversation about off-road cycling is changing. It's moving more. It's getting elevated. And part of that's based on the mayor's leadership and the support from the city council. We definitely look forward to open and honest discussion about the future of cycling in Portland. We just have one problem, and that's a negative legacy in the form of the plan before you. And that was influenced by people in a process that was really typical of the last 25 years about the discussion about mountain biking. And that's about how long we haven't been able to mountain bike in Portland. So my question is, will the city council be the last to replay in Groundhog Day and simply rubber stamp this and move a flawed public process forward, or do you want to be remembered as the first council to take a progressive view on cycling and really acknowledge that fossil fuel saved by avoiding thousands and thousands of miles driven to ride a bike is that important? I would like you to consider how much of Riverview is actually dedicated to offset the carbon from all of us driving an hour every weekend to go biking, maybe twice. I probably drive 4,000 miles to go biking every year, at least. So if I could do it here, that might save some things at Riverview. There are many things in the management plan that are good, but the trail alignment portions are influenced behind the scenes in a closed process, and it does not really reflect the best recreation options for the city of Portland. So I see you have really one option at this point, and it's to not adopt it right now. The plan is good. It's got good stuff, but the trail alignment we have issues with. You brought up Metro easement. We're working with Metro, and we had meetings about how you design trails. And so it came down to, do you have shared use? Do you have separate uses? How do you avoid conflicts? You have a climbing trail and a trail that people are going a little slower on. So there's some things that Metro is leading the way on how to design a trail so that we could actually avoid some of the things. The worst thing is if we move forward, allow bikes, and then they say, oh, see, this was the worst thing ever. So I think we need some flexibility to deal with that. So will you be the last council to keep the old Portland ways or the first council to take a progressive look and look forward to an open and honest discussion about off-road cycling? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Okay, I think we have a couple more folks, please.
Yes, the last two are Charlie Sponsel and Kathleen Walker.
Come on up. Anyone else that wanted to speak and didn't get signed up, come on up and join them.
I'd like to recommend against adopting.
Just put your name back in the record, too.
Yeah. My name is Charlie Sponsel. I was a student at Lewis and Clark College, and I was a member of the Political Advisory Committee for the Riverview process. And I, as a member, filed as part of the minority report and encourage you to not adopt this plan, this highly flawed plan. So, as an anecdote, there were several dog owners on the committee, dog owners that lived in the neighborhood or didn't, that enjoyed walking their dogs on the property. We had a spirited discussion about whether dogs were compatible with the resource preservation goals for Riverview. They were not, and the dog owners acquiesced, and that's a beautiful thing, subordinating your personal preferences. Expressing your personal preferences, but then subordinating them for the will of the group. That is what democracy is all about. That is what the city of Portland wants to be about. and they were based in research that was brought to us about dogs. That discussion did not happen for mountain biking. That discussion was actually banned. There was a spirited discussion taking place. The committee stopped meeting, and then when the committee began meeting again, Director Abate informed us that we could not discuss mountain biking on the committee. In between, during that one-year break, mountain biking was no longer an approved use, and we still don't know why. When I asked the natural resource ecologist for Parks and Rec, she informed me that mountain bikes are not being accused of raising water temperatures, and we are not being accused of creating sediment in the stormwater runoff or in the creeks. We'll never know what the Riverview Natural Area Advisory Committee thinks about mountain biking because we weren't allowed to have that discussion. Emily bought a beautiful cake. It was really nice. It looked just like Riverview. And the cake has already been cut. We've eaten it. That group will never convene again. We will never have the opportunity to discuss the merits of mountain biking, the finer points of trail planning, or management between multiple user groups. What if the Off-Road Advisory Committee suggests that mountain bikes should not be included on the same trails as hikers? They should have separate trail networks. Well, that's obviously not possible given the trail alignment at Riverview. That could have been possible if that were part of the discussion that we had, but that can't happen. It is totally illogical to approve this plan until we have best practices in mind for mountain biking for the city of Portland. We don't. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. I'm writing to encourage you and your staff to hold off on approving this Riverview Natural Area. Kathleen Walker.
Thank you.
To hold off on approving it, or short of that, to adopt it with the caveat that it may be amended pending outcome of the off-road trail plan currently being developed. I'm a recently retired Forest Service Trails Planner and Recreation Manager on the Mount Hood National Forest for almost 30 years, and my daughter attends neighboring Lewis and Clark College. I came late to the table for Riverview when I asked Eric Tonkin of Selwood Cycles where she and I could ride bikes between around Lewis and Clark and get from Lewis and Clark down to Selwood. 2 weeks later, it was closed to bikes. I read the conservation easement that went along with this. Oh, back up a little bit. I'm also 30-year long-term friends with Kate Holleran that was on the committee and works for Metro as a natural resource planner. So I was able to kind of talk to her a little bit about some of the background. But I did read the easement that was assigned by all parties, and I wanted to kind of quote the because a lot of that easement language has been quoted, but I think the second general purpose there on that easement was preservation of land areas for outdoor recreation by the general public. So that recreation all along, in addition to fish and wildlife habitat protection, was part of the equation on that easement. There's additional mentions in the easement for recreation. So the parcel was purchased also with Parks and Recreation funds and got an Oregon State Recreation Trails Program grant to develop at least the area for recreational trails. So I think there is some latitude there to emphasize allowing mountain bikes there. According to the data collected, the primary recreational use of that land was mountain bikers. I'm the first to admit that the trails that were out there were steep, unsustainable, had no bridges over streams, and were a problem. There have been adverse resource impacts as a result of the unmanaged and undesigned use. However, there are many skilled trail planners, as well as willing mountain bike partners, such as Northwest Trail Alliance, who are willing to design, construct, maintain, and patrol mountain bike trails within the Riverview Natural Area. These trails can be co-located with hiking and running paths to address user conflicts while protecting core habitat and riparian areas for wildlife. These trails could remove little to no vegetation and maintain the canopy cover and the stream temperatures. The mountain bike trails can be sloped for drainage, hardened with packed gravel if necessary, and maintained in a sustainable manner. Groups like the NWTA have providing good examples in Stubb Stewart and Sandy Ridge that are 30 miles to the east and west here. We really need this area closer to town, though. So my 30 years of experience in managing national forest lands with user conflicts and important resources helps me understand your predicament here. But an admired leader said that at this time, you can't set this area aside like a rare book and say nobody can touch it. You really need users to come with you and help you maintain and manage it and patrol this area to keep out the homeless camps, the dumps, and things like that. So I really encourage you to consider getting the mountain bikers involved in doing the trail design. Your trails plan is very conceptual, and it's not specific to the trail design standards for mountain bikes. And so it's not going to work. I mean, anything that looks like a corkscrew, which is what it looks like on that plan, isn't really going to work well for mountain bikes. So you really, I can understand setting aside certain zones for people and access, but I really want to see the mountain bikers involved in the more specific trails development plan. And it's going to be a more than a 5 or 10 foot a realignment. It's going to, you know, it's going to be something a little bit bigger, and you need to have that flexibility to make the changes and make that plan work for mountain bikers. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, anyone else? So maybe we can have some staff back up and address questions. And Michelle, maybe you too. So Mike, just get you to reflect a little bit. It's frankly, it's distressing that we've got this impasse, that we got a very capable, open-minded parks director, works well with the community, got an exceptional planner doing this project, and yet we ended up at this juncture. What do we learn from this, and where do we go from here?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I believe that one of the lessons we've learned is there's a great demand for appropriate mountain biking in our city, and we have very few facilities. And I think that's what led you and the council to support doing a citywide look at mountain biking. Somebody mentioned, you know, Stubb Stewart and Sandy Ridge, 30 miles either side of Portland. There are very few, there are virtually no facilities for mountain bikes in the city, in our recreation portfolio. We were talking about Gateway Green and other facilities, but it's certainly a recreation need that that we're not meeting currently.
So you think it's that frustration that is the heart of this, that we just aren't there?
Absolutely. I mean, there was testimony that people have been asking for these kind of facilities for 20 years, and other places have been proposed, and on a site-by-site basis, there are reasons in the moment to say not here, and so that's why I think looking citywide is the appropriate response.
So what will be the effect in a practical way of adopting the management plan now, and then when Michelle completes her work, revisiting the question of trail location?
Well, one thing, mountain biking is not one specific type of activity. You've heard testimony from people that you might say are more on the recreational side. You've heard testimony from people who are active competitors, who have incredibly world-class skills. It's like walking or hiking. Our system ought to have a spectrum of facilities. But in general, our recreation facilities cater to the beginner and the intermediate. We don't have super advanced recreation programs, for example. We let clubs take that over. So I think in terms of what the net effect would be, the alignment, I think we have absolute support for the fact that it protects the interior habitat and still provides two different recreational experiences. This is not appropriate for an expert-level mountain biking facility. If the council at some date in the future wants to allow mountain biking here, that alignment, realize that it does have switchbacks, is not going to provide a certain kind of mountain biking experience. But like Leif Erikson in Forest Park does, we have opportunities for people to ride bikes in nature. And so it may not be the highly competitive place, but if council in the future decided they wanted to do that at Riverview using that alignment, it could be done using that alignment. I think if you go back to considering other alignments, I think that would be a very difficult situation because of all the work that's been done to demonstrate that the alignment as it's shown in the plan is the most supportable place to balance the competing values.
Emily, you have some other comments that you...
Well, I'd just like to point out that we also developed some design criteria for the plan that is on page 28 and 29 and 30. And it really sets the vision for what Riverview Natural Area is about. And it's based on our goals of protecting and enhance watershed health of the site, to protect the natural resources. And it talks to trail design, where we are going to create loops, avoid dead ends, use best management practices, you know, provide opportunities for people of a variety of modes, if approved, or through the off-road cycling plan, of really to enjoy nature of which the site was originally purchased and preserved. I also want to stress the plan, that the line that is shown on the map, we set for the plan and we instructed the consultants that the trail should be on the outer 300-foot edge of the property. Of course, the loop at the top is not, because we wanted to provide an experience for people, a less challenging experience, so that if you had your kids and other things that you wanted to come and practice some mountain biking, they would have that up, or walking or whatever, that opportunity. I think what really has to be said is when we go into design and construction, this is the concept that we are trying to do. We may not have all those switchbacks. We may not, you know, it may not be exactly where it's located, but it will be within the outer 300 feet of the property, except where we can't make a turn or something like that. So I want to stress that, you know, it's not necessary. It's the design criteria that which we gave the consultant to work on is protect the natural resources and put the trail in the outer 300-foot corridor of the property. So we will have some opportunity, if mountain biking is allowed back into Riverview. We have talked about this in parks. We will go back out to the community. We will have the conversation with the community about the mountain bike trail, what it's going to look like, how it is going to be managed, who it is going to be maintained by. All of those things. Will we only allow mountain biking on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday? Will it only go one direction? We have made that commitment within parks that if this comes back in, we will go back out to the community to have that conversation with them.
So why not do that before completing this? That's the bottom line question that's being raised by the biking advocates.
We were instructed not to have that opportunity as part of this plan. So
it's taken us 2 years to get here even with that. I mean, right. I think the important piece that Emily just pointed out is about that the trail will be in the outer 300 feet.
Right.
And let's be clear here. We're not saying everybody else can go down to the river and into the central natural area and only mountain bikers cannot. What this plan does is says that nobody is going to be going into the most sensitive areas.
Exactly.
And so that's what it's doing. It's a natural area framework plan. I want to just assure my colleagues or something that I've learned recently. We accept master plans and that by resolution, and then if ever we get the money to implement them, which can sometimes be 20 years, we look at that master plan. We do sometimes reconvene the committee and ask them for ongoing advice. In the case of the Lentz Park master plan, we recently looked at where they had located the turf field and started questioning, is that actually the best place for that? So we went back to the committee, said, you know, we could take out fewer trees if we put it in this alignment. What do you think of that? Committee and the community said, no, actually, we like the original master plan, and that's what we're moving forward with. It's not like it's defined within even 5 or 10 feet. It's a concept, and it, more particularly, it delineates the sensitive core of the site where all we're going to be doing is education and research and quality.
Yeah, exactly. And that is why I pointed out the design criteria, because that is really what was guiding the access concept was this design criteria and what the vision was for, what the vision is
so
for Riverview.
So if that's, if the heart of the matter is preserving the core of the natural area as such, and if you've made it clear that the trails are going to be in the outer 300 feet, then why the interim prohibition of biking if you've got trails in the outer 300 feet?
Because the way you have to design the trail in order to be able to discourage people from going through the sensitive area. And since we don't have the money to do that, as we heard earlier, it would be $1.5 million to actually construct an environment where it would